Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 here in Chicago with a live studio audience. Wow. It is incredible. The live studio audience gets more exciting each and every week. Okay, we have had an absolutely spectacular Shabbos in the city with Project 613. For those of you listening in podcast land or sheer enjoyment or any of the channels which we are on, please like and subscribe so it will be delivered every, Sunday night, Monday morning, ready to go for a week. Project 613 is a Jewish educational outreach group that basically does therapy for those wounded by Sunday school, rebranding Judaism as fun and meaningful and relevant. And one of the main ways we do that is through Shabbos. And we have an incredible center in downtown Chicago. And this week, we actually had to close registration because we absolutely sold out. And there was not one more square inch in our center to have people. We had over 90 people for Shabbos dinner, which was spectacular. And about half that, I would say around 45 people for lunch. It was just truly spectacular. Shabbos, great vibes. And we just have totally justified why we doubled down and rented a very, very amazing space in downtown Chicago. All right, so that was the wonderful, amazing news about our Shabbos in the city. And we are now pivoting. I want to deal with one little bit of current events and from a Torah perspective. And then we're going to go off into a couple of stories that I think are very powerful in light of this past week about Israel being in the spotlight. Okay, so a little bit of the current events. There seems to be a helicopter somewhere in Azerbaijan that was holding the president of Iran and the foreign minister of Iran. And it seems that they have found said helicopter, and that helicopter is smashed to smithereens, and there is no sign of life. Deaths have not been confirmed, and no bodies have been found, but it is assumed that the president of Iran, who is basically next in line to take over as the Ayatollah, the grand leader of Iran, and their Islamic death cult of jihad that they are spreading all around the world and have since 1979, is dead. And how do we view this? Well, if you open up Psalms, and the Jewish people have been saying a lot of Psalms, Tehillim. Why? Because of the situation in Gaza and Israel, that we turn to Hashem, we turn to God when the going gets rough, Jews get praying. That's how we get tough. We turn to our source. And you look throughout Tehillim, and I surprised myself going through them, how much of Tehillim, of the Psalms, is talking about King David, who was the author of the Psalms. He was the redactor of all the Psalms. He actually personally wrote many of them, but he was the redactor of all of them from the different authors throughout our history. And I don't know, 70% of the Psalms at least have some part about a prayer for the destruction of our enemies. Why? Because our enemies are evil. Iran is evil. Their government, now I don't know about the people. I'm not commenting. I don't know. I know there are people who don't like the government. But Iran and their Islamic jihad has spread terror, horror, all over the globe. They literally wake up in the morning and they say, where can we stir up a hornet's nest of trouble? in Yemen, in Syria, all over. You know, sleeper cells in Europe. Who knows? America as well, God forbid. They wake up in the morning and try to figure out how can they bring more terror to innocent people every single day. So what is our response when two of the major leaders of that effort go up in smoke in a foggy mountainside of Azerbaijan? Do you know what our response is? Hodu Lashem Kitov Ki Leolam Chazdo. Praise are you, Hashem. Your kindness endures forever. Because we are not afraid to call out evil. These people are evil. They wake up with a desire to hurt, maim, destroy innocent people. Aside from what they do to their own people who don't agree with them. And so therefore, if it is politically correct or not, if it ruffles your feathers or not, it is wonderful news when evil is wiped off the planet Earth. All right. And that is our beautiful, uplifting beginning. But what, as they say it, right, the wizard has, ding dong, the witch is dead, the wicked witch, the wicked witch. Well, ding dong, the wicked president and foreign minister of Iran are dead. And that's great news for planet Earth, because maybe more innocent people will stay alive and be able to live their lives and their destinies. Okay, there we have it. Now, I want to talk about Israel. This past week was a powerful day. It was Yom HaZikaron, Memorial Day for the fallen Israeli soldiers, as well as Yom HaAtzma'ut, which is the day of Israel Independence Day. 76 years young, obviously a dampered and tempered celebration. And I want to tell a few stories, I think, highlight what Israel meant and what Israel means and what Israel could mean to all of us. And here we go. Now, this first story is actually both of these stories. Were told to me by one of my rabbis, Rabbi Beryl Wein. Now, Rabbi Beryl Wein is the rabbi of many people. He is a very famous rabbi. For those who are not in the Orthodox Torah world, may not have heard of him, but he is an incredibly accomplished man. He's in his 90s now. And he, in addition to being a tremendous Torah scholar, was, among other things, the head of the Illinois Bar. He was a successful businessman. He was the head of a yeshiva in New York. And when he made Aliyah, he came to Or Sameach to teach as one of the things that he did. And I had the pleasure of being in his Talmud class, him, and he would bring his father of blessed memory. And just seeing how the two of them interacted was a lesson in and of itself. The respect, the love, it was very, very, very powerful. And Rabbi Wein talks about when he was a young boy growing up in Chicago. He was a Chicagoan. And the year was 1946. And the chief rabbi of Palestine of the day, Rabbi Yitzhak Halevi Herzog, was visiting. Now, Rabbi Yitzhak Halevi Herzog is absolutely a fascinating, fascinating individual. He was born in Europe, in Eastern Europe, and moved to Ireland. He became the chief rabbi of Ireland, okay? And eventually he was born in Lomza, Russia, Poland. I mean, the border changed every other day. Okay, and then he eventually was incredibly well-educated in the secular world as well, went to Sorbonne, later University of London. He received his doctorate. He wrote about his PhD thesis was about the color of Tcheles, which is the bluish dye made that we put in the tzitzis that we don't know exactly what it is anymore. And he actually had a theory of where it came from. So he came in 1935 to Israel, which is the same year that the chief rabbi of Palestine of Israel at the time, before Israel, Rabbi Cook had died, and he actually was elected chief rabbi of Israel of the time, even pre-state. And he held that position for many, many years through those tumultuous times of through, you know, even 1948. So he really, really, really saw through a lot of things. Now, imagine the year 1946. We're post-Holocaust, and Rabbi Herzog comes to visit Chicago. Rabbi Wein remembers that his father woke him up and says, "We're, you know, get dressed up in your Shabbos clothes. We're going to go to the airport." They go to the airport, and they greet Rabbi Herzog along with the other boys from Skokie Yeshiva and many, many, many of the people in the Chicago Jewish community. And Rabbi Wein remembers that Rabbi Herzog was always incredibly dignified. He had a cane as befitting a king, and he carried with him a Tanakh, the Jewish Bible, on the other hand, and he really played the part of what it meant to be a chief rabbi. And they came back to the yeshiva, and Rabbi Herzog, in very uncharacteristic manner, put his head down on the lectern, on the shtender, and he started crying. He started wailing. He started bawling. Rabbi Wein said it was the most uncomfortable thing he'd ever seen. This grown man, this great chief rabbi, cried for many, many minutes, and eventually got composure. And he said to them, "Do you know why I'm crying?" And the boys were just stunned silence, stunned silence. And he said, I had just visited Pope Pius XII, who was the Pope before and during and after the Holocaust. And Rev Herzog brought the Pope 10,000 verified names of Jewish children who were handed over to Catholic institutions throughout Europe, who we know were Jewish, who were handed over in an attempt to get them back. And the Pope said, "I am so sorry, Rabbi, but once a child is brought into a Christian, a Catholic institution and baptized, they are Catholic and can never be returned to Judaism and to the Jewish people. And therefore, we call that kidnapping under duress." Yes, that's what we call that. A previous podcast, when I was in Poland, I had a discussion of sorts with some Catholic priests, but that's for a different time. But this point, this is called kidnapping. And he tried and he cajoled and he did all of his whatever he could with his very charismatic personality, but the door was shut. And he said, "Boys, there's nothing that I can do or that we can do for those 10,000 Jewish children who are lost to their Judaism, lost forever to the Jewish people." And he looked up and he said with passion in his eyes, he says, "What are you going to do for the Jewish people? What are you going to do to rebuild the Jewish people after the Holocaust, after this churban, this destruction? The Jewish people seemed almost completely desolate. What are you going to do for the Jewish people?" And that question was emblazoned in the mind and the hearts of those boys, and especially Rabbi Wein, who lists in the article that I just read an incredible amount of rabbis from that class, from that incident, that went on to do incredible things for the Jewish people. And as each of the boys, which is custom to when the big rabbi comes, each of the boys will go and shake the rabbi's hand. He repeated it and he said, "What are you going to do for the Jewish people? And what are you going to do for the Jewish people?" He said to every single boy who came to shake his hand. And Rabbi Wein said throughout his career of teaching Torah, of leading the Jewish people, he said every moment where he needed strength, chizuk. He thought of what Rabbi Herzog told him. What are you going to do for the Jewish people? I have a quick addendum, and I met actually someone, I think it was probably about 2 years ago, a man, similar age, and he was in Chicago, and I said, were you there for Rabbi Herzog's visit? He said, oh yes, I remember him. And then I got so excited. I said, do you remember him saying, you know, like, what are you going to do for the Jewish people? What are you going to do for the Jewish people? Because I knew this story. And he said, no, I don't really remember it so much. And it was an amazing thing. Now, I'm sure this was a very fine man. I've no qualms with him. I know him. He seemed like a very fine individual. But he certainly did not have the impact on the Jewish world and the world at large that Rabbi Wein did. And it's amazing that you could imagine that maybe if his ears were open just a little bit more, we can hear an idea, we can hear an inspiration that will change our lives, that will motivate us. Our ears need to be open. You imagine maybe even Rabbi Wein and this gentleman were standing right next to each other, one away from each other in line, and Rabbi Wein opens his ears and he hears it and he changes. He spends the next 8 decades of his life changing the Jewish world. And this other gentleman just let it go in one ear and out the other. That is a challenge and a lesson that we have for ourselves. When we hear something, we take it to heart and inspire us to do great things. The second story that I want to tell that Rabbi Wein told, he told this in 1998 on Yom Ha'atzmaut, on the Israel Independence Day at Or Sameach, a yeshiva in Jerusalem. It was crowded there in the Laufer Auditorium. It was packed. And he told the story of the Declaration of Independence in Chicago in 1948. Now, I did not know that one day I would end up in Chicago. But he said the following. He said the State of Israel was declared, and the Chicago Jewish community, which had disproportionately large amount of Holocaust survivors, thousands and thousands and thousands of Jews who survived the Holocaust, ended up settling in the Chicago and Skokie area. And the Jewish community called for a mass rally in support of Israel and the declaration of the State of Israel. And there was something called the Chicago Stadium, which I found out is actually the precursor to the United Center. And the similar location in downtown Chicago, the west part of the downtown Chicago. And Rabbi Wein describes how there were about 40,000 people in that stadium, Jews, and many other several thousand other Jews who were outside. And he said, he was a boy of 14 at the time, and they played the Jewish national and Israel national anthem. They played the tikvah. They raised the flag of Israel, the first independent commonwealth of the Jewish people since the Second Temple, nearly 2,000 years ago when the Romans destroyed the temple. And he said that 40,000 people cried their hearts out for 10 minutes. It was like the entire pain of all of the gullus, of the exile of nearly 2,000 years, came out of these neshamas, of these souls, in crying for everything the Jewish people had been through. And everything these individuals, the hell that they had just lived and endured. And the joy of the redemption, the joy of the salvation, the joy of the victory. Israel is precious. Our homeland is so essential to who we are as Jews. And to recognize that it's inextricably linked up with our connection to Hashem, to God. There is no Israel without God. God and Israel and the Jewish people, that's where we live. That's where this young couple that got married on Mount Sinai, God and the Jewish people, where are we going to live? That's our home. That's where our relationship flourishes. That's what Israel is all about. And so as we conclude this week's podcast, I will leave you with the question. What are you going to do for the Jewish people? And what are you going to do for the national spiritual homeland of Israel? God bless. Have an amazing week. And we look forward to seeing you again next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.